How many are interested in following God? How many want to know what the, another way of saying, how do I know the will of God for my life? Another way of saying, how do we follow the Holy Spirit? I've got a list of things that I'm going to lay out tonight, and most of them, most everybody will agree, there'll be a few that you may choke on. Don't get mad at me. Just stick with the Word of God. If you don't agree, that's fine. This is not a cult. I don't make you do anything. But I want you to consider it in the Word of God. You don't, if you're struggling with it, put it on a shelf. And get into the Word of God and find out what God says about it. Most of us will agree with most of these things. But how do I follow God? If you're reading from your book tonight, chapter 5, we're going to go just a little ways, and then we're going to leave the book for the rest of the session. And I want to balance some things out here. And they need balanced. Brother Womack may or may not be very happy with me, but Brother Womack is not a pastor. He's the head of a Bible school and a national ministry, but he's not a pastor. And sometimes I think it would help him to have pastored before he says some things. Now, let me say this. Well, yes and no. He has pastored. Right. He has pastored. But sometimes I wonder, what in the world, if we could go back 30 years ago to Siegelville, Texas. It's been a while. Okay? Right now, that's not the case. Now, here's the deal. The statements in here, I wouldn't have the book if they were wrong. But they need some qualifying. And I explain to you what I mean. How do I follow God? Chapter 5. And listen, this is also a life lesson for you. We did this in our Bible school. You should never, if I give you a book like this, any of the books that we have in our bookstore, Dawn Weir stands up and here she endorses a book that we've okayed. You got to understand that you are reading books that men have written. So that means that it is a given already. There's going to be some imperfections there, and you need to realize that. You need to check out anything anybody says, including absolutely yours truly, with the Word of God in the light of your own walk with God. And if you don't understand it, shelve it, because where there's no faith, you're going to get in a mess. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're just going somewhere because somebody said to go there, you're not following God. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to be very careful. So this is a real life lesson. I want you to not be afraid to challenge anything that you read. Anything that, even right here, I openly and fully endorse this book. I knew exactly what was in here before we got started. But this is a great opportunity for you to look. Now, I do want to say that I don't disagree with anything that he said, but it needs some qualifying. It needs a little pastoral touch. If you would. Now, the reason I say that, and there's some other things in here that we will follow through that are tremendous. But right off the get-go, there needs to be some qualifying. How do I follow God? He says here in chapter 5, and I want to read just this little bit. I remember a young man who came to me for counseling one time about going to Caris Bible College. He said that he knew God was telling him to go, but everyone in his life was telling him not to. He went into a long story detailing all the reasons the pastor of his church, his parents, and his girlfriend thought he shouldn't go. After about 10 minutes, he finally asked me, "So what do you think?" I said, "You lost me the moment you said that you know God is telling you to go." Sound good? If God tells you to do something, then you just do what God tells you to do. Why would you even debate it? God is the creator of the universe. He knows all things. He knows what is best for you. Why should you care what anybody else thinks or what people might say about you? In comparison with God, no one else's opinion should matter. How many would agree that in a certain context, all that is true, but is another context. Hold the phone. Okay, now I'm going to read just a little more. I couldn't tell you how many people have told me over the years that they felt that God was calling them to come to Caris Bible College, but they didn't think it was wise to go. They would say, for instance, that it was only 10 years until they retired. They were focused on securing their financial futures, and they were leaning into their own understanding. My opinion is that when God wants you to do something 10 years from now, He'll tell you 10 years from now. If God is telling you now, he either wants you to do it now or he wants you to start taking the necessary steps to get the ball rolling. Some things take a while to come to pass. So how many have already read this chapter? Okay. Before you go any further, because he mentioned some tremendous things in here, there's a few things that I want to talk to you about first. Number one, I may look like I'm only 39. I don't appreciate the laughter. But I've been in ministry almost that long. That's not a long time, but it's long enough to know a few things. And to see a few things. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me, God told me to do something, and it turned into a wreck, I'd be worth a lot of money. I've been around people that God's telling them stuff all the time. I wish God would talk to me like that. It just they have this chatter going on all the time. Now, I'm not making fun of people that are sensitive and hear and know, but we got to be very, very careful when we say God says. You with me? So the reality is that I know that somebody who is new in the Lord or immature, and immature is not an indictment. It's a statement about where they're at. We're all growing. Come on, can you say it with me? We're all growing. Okay, but if you're immature or young in the Lord, maybe is a better way to put it. Not yet mature, young in the Lord, and you think you hear from God, that's going to be a completely different thing than somebody who's been walking with the Lord for years and pursued God and sought His Word and become familiar with Him, and they say, I feel like God told me to. You're also going to notice that that person does so with a healthy, what is the word? I don't want to use hesitation. I don't like the connotation of hesitation. With a healthy tentativeness. Because even they realize the seriousness of what that means. Now, there's a lot of different things. It's a huge difference between, Lord, should I go to Safeway today or Walmart? And should I stay here in Arizona or move my family to Honduras? Because I saw some slides, God touched my heart, some things happened. You follow me? Those are two hugely different deals. So somewhere before we get here, because right here I'm looking at a situation. Now, Brother Womack, I'm not picking on him. He probably knew this young man and knew a little bit more about him than he's revealing in this book. But if I had a young man approach me and he said, everybody in my family and everybody I know, my parents and my pastor, I would not say, hey, fooey on what all they say. What they say doesn't matter. Do what God's telling you. I would want to talk to his pastor. Excuse me for spitting. I would want to talk to his pastor and find out what's going on with Bubba. Because I know, and I've watched enough people wreck. You've been around somebody who God changes his mind every little bit. It's okay to say yes. You ever been around somebody who said, God told me? And then 2 weeks later, he told him something else. And God is rather confused. Either that or it's not God. So somewhere along the line, before we even go there, I feel that it's important for us to establish some things. Now, there's all kinds of variables in this conversation. You can be an hour old in the Lord, and God... You can be driving home. We read Sunday morning. Jim Crane contacted me about these verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says of those who have confessed Jesus as their Lord that they know all things. 27 says, you have an anointing, an unction, it calls in the King James. You have an anointing. That is, the presence of God in you knows all things, and you have no need that any man teach you. He's not saying there's not a need for teachers. That would be in contradiction with the rest of the word. But you know right from wrong. And if you've put your faith in Jesus, he will lead you. So I'm headed home now, and I'm born again. And as I'm approaching a stop sign, I hear a rather solid slow down. Now, I don't need to worry or debate that. I don't have to be mature. There is a voice, either your human spirit that is now made new, and it doesn't matter, don't worry about it. Either your human spirit, which is now regenerated in Christ Jesus, is talking loud to you because it knows things you don't appear. You know all things, but we're talking about the real you. This part of us is still catching up. That's why we need renewing of our minds. You following me? But I've had that voice speak to me when I was in utter confusion, but he is faithful. Can you say with me today? He is faithful. And I don't care if you're 2 minutes old in the Lord. God can speak to you. When he comes in that way for protection, it is like, I mean, there is no doubting. And most of the time, people that are alive unto God respond before they even realize what happened. I'm not talking about that. What we're talking about is direction in life. Things like this. And I'll explain here in just a minute. Who are you going to marry? What career are you going to choose? Where should you live? You follow me? What ministry does God have for me? What is God telling me to do specifically within that? Is there a place? Is there a geographical? We people get themselves, especially the so-called spirit-filled camp, get themselves in more trouble in this area right here than any other area. I know of so many marriages that went fast because God told them, interpreted, he made me. No, he didn't. He was in lust. You were in lust. You asked God to bless your lust, and now you have a wreck. That's 9 times out of 10. I hate to be mean, but 9 times out of 10, that's what it boils down to. They spiritualize it. They play all kinds of cute little games, you know, Tinkerbell games around the issue. But a lot of times that's what it is. Now, how many are glad for forgiveness? And God can help us and restore. I'm not picking around, but I'm saying right now, at this stage today, how many want to follow God? And how many know that if we follow God, Jeremiah 29:11 promises us good things, a good future. Can you say today, a good future? A good future is not a bad future, it's a good future. Only my Baptist brothers can take a good future and say it's a bad one, but it's good, and we'll understand by and by. Say, God bless the Baptist. I love them. We pray for them. Are you here? But a good future is a good future. Good is still good, biblically. So, when we see something like this, and the question is asked, how do I follow God? Well, there's some things that have to be taken care of first before we can dare to presume that the hearers, on their varying levels of understanding and growth and background, are you following me? So let's start on some really, really basic stuff. And this may not be so basic. I mean, I have to remind myself of these basics all the time. And you will too as you get a hold of them. I want to just move through some stuff that I've jotted down. These are things that I live by. And there's more, but these are just a few. I just started hitting them. Number one, and I hope that you're taking notes, or you can take notes or get a pen or a piece of paper from somebody else. If you don't have paper, Bill can give you a piece. Get a pen from somebody else. But number one, these are very, very simple points. But number one, the first step of being trained in following God is being acquainted. You ready for something really, really super deep? Being acquainted with His Word. When I hear somebody say, God told me, and I know they are not people of the Word, I can already hear the screeching tires and the glass and the impact. And I'm already praying in the Holy Ghost for them. Because 9 times out of 10, those kind of people don't want to listen to you. Say, I'm not one of those. I have a meek, come on, would you confess it with me tonight? I have a meek and a teachable spirit. I am not a knucklehead. No, I'm not, Lord. I really am not. You got to be acquainted with His Word. For you, the first step, if you're saying God told me. Now, remember, I'm not saying that you're running home and something happens and you hear the Holy Spirit say, go this other direction. And man, you know, you haven't been saved 2 hours. And I've had people come to me and say, Brother Lee, you wouldn't believe what happened. I was headed home from church. I mean, this guy's newly born again or newly spirit filled. And I was headed down a street and I was overwhelmed with this, don't go that way. And I went the other way. And I found out later there was a terrible accident down there. Man, God can prophesy through babies. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when it comes to major life direction, we need to allow God to help us. And in this area, I feel like it is so dangerous. I remember Brother Hagin years ago when we were in Bible school. We were in our second year of Bible school. And I remember him saying something that offended me really bad. I was 20 years of age, just newly married. Jackie and I got married between first and second year. And he said, I don't really think. He was talking about how to follow the Holy Spirit and how to find your calling and the importance of finding your calling, all these other things. And then he made a statement that really upset me. And it upset me for a while. Until I got to those years and looked back and thought, man, was he ever right. He said, I don't think it really matters to God what you do till you're 30. Now, he's not talking about sin. He's talking about, should I go here? Should I be an evangelist? Should I be this? Should I be a pastor? Should I be an evangelist? Should I go to Africa? Should I stay home? Should I minister here? Should I witness? Should I? He said, I don't think God really cares what you're involved in till you're 30. He said, just go be alive. Be a Christian. Be who Jesus called you to be. And witness, talk to people, win people to the Lord. Don't worry about your calling or your whatever. He said, just go and be happy in Jesus. Be a husband, be a wife, start a family. This is what he said. And I had this big, big goals of mission field, this whole deal. Now, and he said, I predicate this on the fact that Jesus, his ministry didn't start until he was 30. Now, how many of you know there have been some Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled kids? Remember Robert Schlerden? 15? Younger than that, actually, when God touched his life. But 15, a preaching machine, and already was into what he has continued to do today. There's exceptions. But my point in bringing that up is this. So many times we take ourselves way, way, way too stinking serious. The joy, would you repeat with me? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And if I'm getting clouded up, and I remember my dad saying years ago, Lee, when I was struggling with some of this stuff, he said, Lee, let me tell you something. He said, when I get into a situation like that, he said, I have learned to shift it neutral and just coast. Just coast. Love God. Worship God. Honor God. Don't let the devil pressure you in the name of God into doing something that isn't right. God is not in that big of a hurry. Now, if you were to read some of these things in this, I'm not picking on Brother Womack. I love Brother Womack. I love this chapter. I agree with what he said, but I need to contextualize it for maybe for some, and I'm going to do it for the sake of teaching anyway, to make sure that we don't get ourselves in a jam. And many people are already in jams and have been through some tough stuff because they didn't know any better. Hosea 4:6, write it down. You hear it all the time. Hosea 4:6 says, my people, everybody's saying here, my people perish. They're destroyed because they don't know some things. I thank God that's old covenant. I'm in the new covenant now, and I have an anointing kin from the Holy One who teaches me all things. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, the first step of being trained in following God is being acquainted with His Word. Have any of you noticed that the epistles say very, very little about the stuff that we in the charismatic church place 80% of our emphasis on? Miracles, healings, the gifts, prophecy, tongues and interpretation. I'm not belittling these things, but I'm saying Paul dealt with it in one chapter, and then over here a little bit in another chapter, and then over here a little bit in another chapter, and the rest of all of these epistles is about one thing. Love one another. That's why our emphasis is at on Sunday morning. Love one another. And then he breaks it down how this should look, how this should be acted out. We as the body of Christ in faith, whether we feel like it or not, how we should, as Paul, quoting the poets of those on Mars Hill, their own poetry, getting ready to evangelize to them about Jesus, quotes her own poets and says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." So, you and I, we live and move in Him, right? Have our being. So the epistles are showing us how to behave. Do you know any believers that misbehave a lot? Scripture shows believers, Spirit-filled believers, how to behave in a family, in a body, to behave with one another. And I'll tell you what, if we would use... if most of the Word is about that, then if we would in turn use most of our faith towards that, a lot of this stuff that we stress would go away. It's a similar picture that Jesus draws in Matthew 6:33 when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," and all this stuff that you worry about, that the Gentiles, he's saying you shouldn't be, but that the Gentiles worry about, it'll just be added. You won't even have to use your faith on it. Seek first the kingdom. I'll take care of this. It'll be like the wake behind a boat. Forward motion, trusting God, makes a wake. That's what provision is like behind the one who says, "God, I entirely trust you. My life is yours." So being acquainted with the Word. The more intimate, number two, I know this is basic, but maybe not so basic. The more intimate you become with the Word. I didn't say knowledgeable or the more you know or the more you can quote. I said the more intimate you become with the Word of God, the more intimate you will be with the author. Paul says that I may know Him. You get to know Him, and there gets to be confidence. How many of you that are married or have been married can remember this? It's something that comes harder for men, I think, than women, but we both have struggled with it. It can even happen in friendships. But when I was first dating my wife and we were first married, I didn't understand what I was doing. It took me gaining knowledge to figure out what was wrong. But just like the Word of God says to men, deal with your wives according to knowledge. That was a warning to men. They're complicated and you better figure it out. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. At all. Okay? And men can be equally as stupid, so that scale balances out pretty good. So here's the deal. So, he says, deal with them according, find out how they work. It's interesting that in Scripture, and I don't want to get off into marriage, I touch this from time to time in sermons and other subjects, but it's interesting that Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking through His Word, drawing examples, for example, in Ephesians, He gives commands where there is a weakness. He doesn't tell the wife to love her husband. He tells her to honor. In another place, obey. But they're the same thing. This is not, you're less than me. Remember, he didn't take her from your foot, and he didn't take her from your... She's not under you, and she's not over you. He took her out of your side. She is your partner. One, together. Are you with me? But we're different. The world today is trying to say there is no difference. The world's philosophy today is saying there is no difference. There's a humongous difference, and it's more than plumbing. God created us very different on purpose. So God gives commands where there is a weakness. He tells women, honor. Do you know what a man's biggest need is? Respect. Oh, is that right? Nothing will blow a man's lid more than feeling disrespected. I know guys that would seem on the outside, in the cowboy world, just about seem to virtually hate each other, but they respect each other. That's in the guy's world, okay? So he tells women, honor. He tells men, love. Why? It's not that men are not capable of love. In fact, a lot of your psychologists will tell you men in many ways can be more romantic than women. That's not what we're talking about here. But our ability to express, to put it into words, to be sensitive, to be aware, to look for, it doesn't come natural. And if you're just playing marriage by ear, you're headed for trouble in your marriage. It would behoove men of God to seek out the Word of God and find out who women are. And then more specifically, who their wife is. And vice versa. And then let your goal in marriage be not to try to get her to fulfill my needs, but by the grace of God, abandon my need. And by His grace, give what I may even feel is undeserved. Give that which otherwise would be next to impossible. Deal with your wife according to knowledge. Right? And wives, understand who God has placed as, yes, as politically incorrect as it may sound today, the head of the home. Not tyrant. And we're going to touch on that, hopefully, if we get there to... yeah, we will. I think we will. Now, I went into a little bit more of that than what I wanted to. But here's what I want to get across to you. How many of you remember a time when you really fell in love with somebody? And it may not necessarily be your spouse, or could have been a girlfriend when you were younger, or whatever. Or it could have even been another friend. It's happened to me both directions with just another friend, somebody that I thought a lot of. But what we do is we appreciate them a lot. So we go out and we buy something that really we think is something that is really nice. I mean, we search and we search and we search and we finally find that one thing. This, I know, was going to really express to them how much they mean to me. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend. It could be whatever. And you go and you see. How many of you have ever seen this expression on a Christmas morning, a Christmas coming? They're pulling it open. They open it up and they go, oh, thank you. The heck? Why? Because you may not have known them as well as you think. What you did was, is you did what you thought for you. We don't realize how built in this is. I need to drink more water. I'm spitting all over the place. You may not realize, excuse me, most of us don't. And this is why the Word of God, man, I love it. Just like we were talking about this morning, men's Bible study. We just take layer after layer. And as it seems to get a little dry, you pull another layer off and it just keeps getting fresh and fresh. And we learn and we grow. The thing is, though, is that most of us aren't even aware that we're doing that because we're sincere. Our heart is right, but we don't know. When you begin to really know somebody, you move past what you think they would like based on what you know, and you begin to find out who they are, and now you move to a more intimate level of knowing what it is that you could do for them or buy for them that would please them. It may not, for you, it may be like, I don't get it. I would never buy a green tie with black polka dots. But they love it, or whatever. That is a horrible picture, at any rate. So, you, as you get to know that person, and you become more intimate in your relationship, you know what blesses them. Because there's time taken in a relationship, I now have a better sense of what makes them feel good, what pleases them. Okay? This works, all you under 15 can hold your ears and go blah, 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 but this works all the way through the home right to the bed. I wish Christians could get a hold of these things. I believe that in this church, we do and are. Because the gospel is about selfless giving. He selflessly gave. Now my new paradigm, my worldview, my philosophy is... Colleen's not here. Bill Comstock, how I miss him. How many remember Bill Comstock? Not everybody in here knew him. When you walked into, and I still want to get that. I want that. When you walked into Bill Comstock's house, the first thing that faced you on the wall right there where you couldn't ignore it was a beautiful big wooden plaque. And in it, it said, Others. That's not where most of us live. Most of our life is not about others. And I'm not, please don't take any condemnation. That's not my point. But somewhere our paradigm begins to change. When we become intimate, the more intimate we become with the Word, the more intimate we will become with the author. And we will begin to know more by accident than we ever tried to on purpose what pleases Him. The words don't even hardly get out of your mouth of, Lord, do you want me to okay? I mean, it's not, you know, there's some growth that goes on there. But do you see how that works? Jesus understood this in his earth suit. John 17 is a beautiful picture of that. The Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, this is too much. The human side of me, I don't know if I can take this. If it's possible, let this cup... Nevertheless, he interrupts himself. He was intimate with the Father. He knew what pleased the Father. You follow me? That's why I don't believe there is a possible misunderstanding of this chapter in that God will make you obey. It isn't... At the same time, we hear he won't make you do anything. But the other side is, you got one chance and you better get it right. And if you miss God, you're in trouble. I don't believe that. Mm-mm. No. No way, Jose. So, aren't those two beautiful points? So, remember those. So, here's the thing. Now, I used to teach years ago, teach people that went in a class teaching how to hear from God. I told them, listen, don't be out there trying to hear stuff. Scripture says there's many voices in the world. You're going to get yourself in a jam. Here's where you start. Become acquainted with the Word. Because the Holy Spirit will not start off talking to you when He knows you can't decipher His voice from the others. He loves you. He wants you to win. Say with me today, He wants me to win. Come on, are you here today? He wants me to win more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Say, I'm a winner because of Jesus in me. Say it with me. I'm the answer and not the problem. Come on, say it out loud. I'm the answer and not the problem. Come on, somebody needs to say that. I'm the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in me. Good news. Praise the Lord. I taught them. You get into the Word of God, start memorizing some Scripture. I can't memorize. Don't, quit saying I can't. Here's what you need to say. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can, you must memorize some Scripture. You don't have to memorize the King James perfect. You heard Jesse Ann on Sunday morning. According to the King James, she butchered it. According to the Holy Ghost, it's living in her, and she was already saying, I am. I love it. So get a hold. And here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, He will speak to you through His Word. This may happen for months or years before one day He'll always speak within the confines of His Word. He'll never, and we'll get to that in a minute. But you may hear a voice that says, I want you to look at this. And it will be that same sweet, precious voice that is spoken to you through His Word. And you'll go, boy, I recognize you, but it's not Scripture this time. You're telling me to go. Whoa. And you begin, man. Training wheels on, but we're going. The Word of God, you never miss it with the Word. Let me give you a few scriptures before we move any farther. You know these scriptures well. John 10:27. We don't have to turn there, but write it down. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. You need to stop saying, boy, I wish I could hear. You need to start boldly declaring, I know the voice of my shepherd. Stop saying I can't and start saying I can. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Jesus speaking says, Blessed are they, which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Think about what that is. We've been in here long enough. That's not doing good stuff. This is a lifestyle of walking in the flow of God's holiness. And Jesus finished that deal, paid for it for us, ratified this new covenant and said, if you'll just put faith in my obedience, the Father will count it as yours. If we are hungry, see, when I hear somebody say, you know, Pastor Lee, I felt like, and I met this guy and I was just praying the other day and he told me that I was going to marry him. And so I'm a little scared, but you think I'm being funny? I've heard that 100 times. I'm a little scared, but I feel like God's telling me, honey, you need to slow down. Well, now, Brother Lee, now, I really, and then you realize what's going on. Slow down. Uh-uh. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's what you meet most of the time. Somebody who is hungry, blessed are those which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. These will be filled. Filled with what? What other scriptures can you think of? How about Ephesians 3 that says, understanding the love of God. It's four-dimensional, mind-blowing, beyond our world, length, breadth, depth, height, love of God. That if we can grasp that somehow by faith, it will fill us with all the fullness of God. Just getting richer. Man, I wish I had another hour. Okay, so here we go. Here's a few that I'm sure you're aware of. But Psalms 119, verse 130, you hear me quote this all the time. I hope you're writing this down. I hope it's not going to do you any good if you're not. If you can't go back and refer to this, and it's gonna just be lost on you. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of His word brings light. I don't know why that works. I have been in this situation at a crossroads and not known what to do. Driving myself crazy with my perfectionist tendencies and all that is there and not knowing what to do and realize I am at an impasse. I'm going crazy. I'm not in peace. Whatever way I'm supposed to go, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going to leave this. I'm going to go worship God and I'm going to get back over here in the Word. And I'm reading something that has nothing to do with that situation, but I'm submitting to Him. And I'm feeding again, and I'm getting excited, and I'm worshiping, and I'm getting thankful, looking around and saying, regardless of where that is, man, I'm so glad for today. I'm so glad for purpose. I'm so glad for, I begin to remember, and I'm reading down through the Word, and it has nothing to do with this, but in the middle of reading this, I go, I got it. We're going this way. What, honey? We're going, yes, it's on. How do you know? I don't know, but it's on. It happened, even though it wasn't connected. His Word. Come on, you here tonight? His Word brings light. Amen. That's why it's important to be in church. You know, people are leaving the church right now in America by the droves, by the tens of thousands. This is fact. While the church in China, under great persecution, is exploding. And Iran. What's going on with us? Come on, would you lift your hands with me? Man, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Oh. I know you're faithful. I know you'll lead me if I'm listening. Let my hunger be deep. Oh. Psalms 119, 130, how beautiful. The entrance of your Word. I heard, and I don't remember who it was, so I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, but I heard somebody say fairly recently, I really enjoy the worship, but I don't like the preaching and the teaching stuff. It wasn't against me. No. If you're new to the things of God, I understand that. Got it. If you've been around a while like this individual was, you got some hurt. You got some things that need to be dealt with. You're in trouble. Paul said it's the foolishness of preaching. The Word. Psalms 119, 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp. Hello, people. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. I was over here reading it. It didn't have anything to do with this. But because I'm in this flow, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man. What's biblical good? Come on, what's biblical good? The steps of a good man are ordered of God. See, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. The more intimate you get with the Word, the more intimate you become with the author, and the more you'll understand as we walk through life what pleases Him. Are you following this? These are basic. But it starts with, absolutely, and ends with, and must always be bolstered by the Word of God. Now, I want to move through these others rather fast so we can finish this up, because I got more that I want to share next week. So can we do that? I'm going to try. Number three, many of you in here would go, duh. You'd be surprised. He will never lead you to do something inconsistent or contradictory to the Word of God. Yes, but brother, I know what I experience. I don't give a hoot about what you experienced, what you smelled, how wild-eyed you got, and how good it made things for a little while after that. The devil is a deceiver, and if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, abandon it and move on in Jesus. A lot of times the reason that we hang on to those experiences is because they became part of our identity, and we bolster our sense of meaning worth by those experiences. I'm so glad that my worth is no longer on what I've done, but on who I am in Him because of what He's done. He'll never lead you to do anything against the Word of God. God told me, I'm hitting this a lot, I know, but you hear it all the time. God told me to marry that man. Is he born again? No, but I heard an audible voice. Well, you've got a more sure word of prophecy that tells you to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Pastor Lee, I'm starting a business. I want you to pray for this business. It's a this, and they name it all, and they're very excited, and I don't know, and I'm caught after a service, and things are happening, and I love these people. What they left out was is that they not only were going into business, covenant, with an unbeliever, but somebody who was in an alternative lifestyle that was crazy. The end thereof was destruction that has continued until today. And they love God, and God loves them, and He will restore them, but there's things they've been through that have hurt them. Life will never quite be the same because they said, I want to do this, now God, you bless it. Or, I feel this is what I should do. We prayed about it. You don't need to pray about that. Scripture already says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So I'm not going to get into business or bed. With an unbeliever. Christian philosophy. Where has it gone? Nowhere here. Are you with me? Now, if you've already made that mistake, do you know God can take sour grapes and make beautiful, wonderful grape juice if we'll submit it to Him? All of us have done dumb things because we didn't know any better. And aren't you glad He's merciful? I said, aren't you glad He's merciful? Aren't you glad that you don't have to, if you walk out of here today and you start feeling and going back and saying, well, we and I should have and I, well, does that mean? Stop! You are here today. Paul said, this one thing I've learned, forget that which is behind and press forward towards the mark of my high calling in Christ Jesus. You can't do diddly about yesterday. Thank God for His mercy and His grace, and you're alive and able to do what He's called you to do. Are you hearing me? Don't go back. There's nothing back there. But from here forward, let's learn some things so that we can teach some things. Remember we talked about David a number of weeks ago? So important that you never hold your tongue. Well, I can't tell him that. Adopted children. Because when I was, it ain't about what you was. It's about who He is. You're not preaching you and who you was. You're preaching Him and who He is. This is the standard we have in our home now. The standard starts with Jesus, and this is how it's going to be. Deal with it. Kids need security. They need a voice of strength balanced with a voice of love. Can you give me a few more minutes? Take 10? That's all I get is 10? Okay, here we go. Here's another one that I wish so many, and this is more to do with Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled ranks. He will never give you a brand new direction that utterly surprises you through another individual. Now, I need to qualify that. I need to qualify that. And here's what I mean. I have had in my own life a number of things that were coming together. I was praying for an answer. I didn't really know how this was going to work. And somebody like Darlene Nenny steps into my life. I'm not picking on Darlene. I mean, there's a gift there. You know? I've seen this in this gal. I've seen it in Sally. I've seen it in a number of others. Step into my life, and they don't even know what they're doing. Because they're not worried about that. They're just obeying God. And they said, listen, I really feel. They're praying for me. I really feel that this and this and this and the other. Now, a piece of that surprised me only in this. I didn't see where all the other stuff was going. And when that was spoken, it confirmed wholly everything that was already in me. But the whole package wasn't a surprise. Everything, 99% of it, was in place. God will never tell you to do something that takes you off guard through another individual. I can show it to you. I wish I had more time in Scripture. If you want to, we can sit down personally. He will never, ever speak to you. He put Jesus in you. He is your prophet and high priest, ultimate. He speaks through you. He speaks through the new covenant prophet to confirm and affirm, but not to give you a new direction that goes, wow, I don't know where that came from. I better do that because he said it. Well, you're going to be in trouble. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You know all things and have no need that any man teach you. They may have a piece of the puzzle that enlightens something that was already there, and you go, but you're not surprised. In fact, you're already jumping through the traces trying to get at now. Oh my God, this is it. Not, oh my God. Does that make sense? I hope you all are getting this. Number five. This one. Man, we spirit-filled people can be flaky. God, I am. I said we. I said we. God keeps his word and expects us to keep our word as well. Amen or oh me. So he will not tell us. Ready to pull your chairs back under? Your feet back under the chairs? He will not tell you to do something that would cause you to break covenant, promise, or your given word with another person in your marriage or in a ministry. If you said, yes, Pastor, I'm committing to be an usher for 6 months, you ought to have the grace. It's not the end of the world. Be an usher for 6 months. Don't get 3 months into it and get bored and say, oh, I want to be a children's minister. The Lord talked to me and he changed his mind. I'm going to... Don't do that. Do you know how many marriage counseling sessions I've been in where I've heard, the Lord told me I married the wrong one? Not if you're both born again. Somebody is not submitting to the Word of God, and it's probably you, because you already are stepping outside of the confines of God's Word. If we'd try a little bit of submit to one another, esteem the other higher than yourself, we'd find that so many of the things, the goofy stuff we make up, God honored that covenant and called you one if you're born again. And there is a way to work this out. The thing is, most of marriage counseling is one or the other or both have come to tell me why they need me to agree with one or the other or both. Every once in a while, you'll find somebody that really does want to fix it. And boy, that's few and far between, and it's awesome. I've seen some incredible miracles. But probably a small percentage of the overall. And this is believers. Is that too cloud. Is that too heavy? You're following me? Okay. Number six. This one is so awesome. We've heard so many stories. I was at this meeting. I saw this. I went to Brownsville. I saw this. I saw, oh my gosh, we were close to all that. I'm not saying none of that was God. I'm not saying none of that's anything. What I'm saying is right now, today, November 15th, 2017, all that didn't mean anything for you. You have God in you by the Holy Ghost who you can walk by and hear from and know. You don't need a far away, most of the time it winds up being something goofy anyway. I remember Todd Bentley. Everybody was sucked in, including my dad. I was like, Dad, see, this is my dad who I honor and love. I said, Dad, look, see, can't you see? This is going to blow up. You can't say that. That's not in the Word of God. There is no angel Emma. That's a demon. No, but. I'm content whether I see signs and wonders or not. If I'm walking in His love and walking in the Word, He's taking care of business. What I do know is if I'm doing that, signs and wonders follow them who believe. So we don't need to worry about that. So here it is, number six. God does not lead from the outside. Now I'm talking about believers, you and me. Most believers are looking for a voice out here. Out here. God, talk to me out here. No. Hold. Stop. Stop the phone. Andrew Womack's wonderful series. You've already got it. The kingdom is on inside of you. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. You know all things. You have an anointing. The answer comes from inside. And it usually happens through desire. Now, I want to touch on that before we get out of here. Is this helping you at all? Or refreshing at least? Some things. God does not lead from the outside. For New Covenant believers, He leads us from the inside out. That's why we got to get intimate with the Word. So we get intimate with the author. And He will express His desires. He doesn't make. He doesn't constrain. That's Old Testament. He leads. And He's so patient. I don't get it the first time. He'll keep going. I didn't know that I was supposed to come here. I wanted to, but I didn't know that want to was from Him. I didn't trust it because I'd been taught all my life. If you want to do it, it can't be God. He wants you to do something hard. Sacrifice. So the next one leads right from that. Don't fall for the lie that you've only got one chance to get it right. I've heard that all my life. And many so-called prophets make it sound like you got this window of opportunity, and by God, if you don't obey, and then they bring the big hammer down. To obey is better than sacrifice. It's true. There are certain things in life, if we were yielding and listening, we wouldn't go some of the places we do. But how many figured out you can't practice life? We're going. It's going already. And He's there, He's faithful. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there where I took myself when He was leading me somewhere else good, I'll fear no evil, for You're still with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Number seven. Let me not get ahead of myself. So don't fall for the lie that you've only got one chance to listen. Something Brother Hagin said years ago has never left me. Here's a man who is known all around the world, seen a lot of great things happen, and I don't know what you've heard about him, but there's been a lot of things that have gone out from him in his name that had nothing to do with who he was, I promise you. He was a tremendous, mighty man of God. He really was. And a man of love. He said, I'd rather be a little behind God. See, if you read this chapter outside of the proper context, you'll get a feeling that you better obey. And if you don't, you're going to miss it. I had a conversation with somebody that I love very much. I feel like I'm supposed to go to Caris Bible College. I said, hold the phone. He may, but there's a process here. I'm so glad I didn't say, well, I'm not hearing anything else. If you said God told you, go. That would have been a disaster. I'd rather be a little behind than ahead. Can you say amen? I'd rather, he can lead us. Eight. We might get this finished up. Here's one that's a little tougher. If you're married to a believer, God will not tell you a new direction in life without somehow letting that other one know. Say with me, we are one. One more time, we are one. And if somebody is insisting, the other is bucking, you're both, somebody's out of line, probably both, but certainly the one that is pressing. Don't take that as condemnation. Take it as a learning point. We can trust Him. He knows. He is the one who honored that covenant. He is the one who called you one. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I remember the day that I made the decision. I knew. Tremendous freedom. I woke up and I said, Jackie. And she turned and she goes, we're going to Arizona, aren't we? Serious. That's exactly how it happened. Now, yours may not be quite like that, but He'll let them know. Okay? He'll let them know. When it comes to God, He works within the confines of agreement. Isn't that beautiful? If any two of you should agree. Matthew 18. Isn't that beautiful? Here's one that may be a little tougher for some of you to hear. But I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I just want you to back off. And as we're growing in the Word, maybe see what you're going through in a different angle. I was in a conversation recently. And this individual, who is not here, said, I was a rebellious woman. I would not listen to God. And it took God smashing my head in literally to get my attention. And He woke me up and gave me another opportunity to obey Him. Let me tell you what that is. That's fear and bondage. Now thank God that her heart is so towards God that she was willing to do that. But God did not smash her head in an accident to wake her up and make her do something, which leads to my final point. God will never force anyone to do anything. Don't say, I don't want to do it, but God's told me and I'm going to obey. He's making me do this. No, He's not. He's not making you do that at all. Now, there's several things that could be going on there, but I'm going to give you the basic two that could be happening right there. One is, you still haven't got a hold of who Jesus is and this picture of grace. And you believe that God still has an aspect of tyrant and He's going to make you do stuff and He's going to put you through things for your own good and for... No, He doesn't function like that. Okay. Or... You don't know how to put into words, maybe because of your orientation, your background, but what's really going on here is, mentally, I'm nuts. But in here, I wanna. Here? But in here? You couldn't keep me from going to New Guinea? I don't care what you said or what you tried. I'm going. I want to. You couldn't have extracted my dad out of Honduras, and where he lived, in my opinion, was stinking miserable. He loved it. You know, and you hear missionaries say things like, well, you know, the Lord spoke to us back there in 1969 and we went there to that country and we didn't have this and we didn't have that and we didn't have the other. But we knew that if we obeyed God that He was going to come through. And so we just, as we prayed, we just yielded our... I've talked to many of those guys, and you want to know something? They were surging at the traces. They dreamed of this for years. They had believed God. Everything in them was surging. There was a natural fear of the unknown, a natural fear of other things. There was like, oh my God, what are we doing? Where am I taking my family? But you couldn't have held them back for nothing. Psalms 37, chapter... Psalms 37, 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord. Let me give you Lee Shaw's paraphrase. Delight yourself in the Lord. Get intimate with the Word, and you'll get intimate with the author. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll talk to you from the inside out. He doesn't make you from out here. He's no longer a master. He is our Father, and He gave us the Holy Ghost to live on the inside of us. Isn't that beautiful? Commit your way to Him. It's what we've been talking about all night long. Don't tell me the Lord told you when you're doing something that's in opposition to His Word. Don't tell me. You go over here. I've seen it so many times. The Lord called us to such and such a church in Missouri. And they move there to Missouri. And they get, and this is nobody that you know. Nobody that we've known in the last 5 years. It's not David Thomas. Relax. Think the world of the man. Don't want anybody putting anything that has nothing, nobody, anybody in here knows. God told us. And they left a hole in that ministry. You could feel things were right. They weren't listening to anybody. They go to where it is that they said God told them to go. They make a mess there. And then after they're there just a few months, God tells them something else. And they leave that man desperately, confusion. It hurts baby Christians. Keep your word. 6-8 months a year is not too hard to hold. Keep your word. God is a man, if you would, of His word. He's not a man that He should lie. But He keeps His word, and He can help us keep our word. He can keep our word in covenants, in relationships, in marriage, in ministries. God is not flaky. So you and I, let's help Him not look that way. I said, God is not flaky. So let's you and I help Him not look that way. Isn't this rich? God doesn't make you do anything. God's making me do this. God told me to do this hard thing. Well, He might have told you to do it, but if you just back off a little bit, I couldn't stop you for nothing, because you want to with a want to that's to your toes, and you're excited and you're believing God. Are you with me? Last point and final. I didn't go as long as I want to, but I don't think anybody's bored tonight. Would you just relax? Here's the last point. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. So chill out. Give yourself a break. You're not a 100%er. That's why in our weakness He is made strong. That's why in our infirmities, our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit takes together with us and prays for us. It's Jesus with Peter. Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. You're going to look like a wreck. You're going to curse. You're going to deny me, but I'm looking over a Holy Ghost bridge and I see a hairy-legged, foul-mouthed little fisherman declaring the oracles of God as 3,000 are saved. Would you just help me relax? I'm going to miss it. I ain't going to get it every time. But let me tell you something, by the Holy Ghost, the more I climb into these things we've talked about tonight, I didn't get to near the scripture, we can do that next week. You're going to miss it less and less. For the path of the righteous, can you say it with me? The path of the righteous shines brighter. and brighter. Hallelujah. You get something out of that? Ready to follow God? The steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of God. Come on, stamp your feet under your chairs. Come on, stamp your feet. My steps are ordered of God. I may stumble once in a while. I'm going to miss it. But you know what? I'm going to stumble up, not down. Forward, not back. In Jesus' name. Yes, darling. Look around the room. Do you see any?